Welcome to an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma give their opinions on the latest happenings surrounding Yankees baseball, as well as dive into the hottest topics in the sports world. And now, here are your hosts, Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Off the Wall podcast here in my office on YesNetwork.com. I'm Chris Sheeran. Joe Auriemma will join us in a second. And joining us on the telephone is former Rangers and Kings defenseman Tom Laidlaw. Tom and I work out from time to time at the gym, and he spots me when I have to pick up those 25-pound dumbbells. Tom, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Good. I don't think it's very accurate to say we both work out. I think everybody just sits around and watch you work out all the time, Chris. That's what it is.
Tom also has his own sports management company as well, doing very well with 15 players there. But Tom, let's talk about the lockout. It's day 111 today as we tape this on Friday. Both sides have met for five straight days, but it seems like the talks once again yesterday took a step backwards instead of going forwards. Let me just start off, before we get into the nuts and bolts, do you see hope for a shortened season?
I do. I think they're so close to getting a deal done. I don't know if – I put it this way. If they don't get a deal done, I think both gentlemen, Donald Fehr and Garrett Devin, should worry about their jobs, given that they're so close to getting it done right now.
Tom, this is the third lockout in Gary Bettman's 19 years in the NHL. Do you think – that this is going to have any impact on his job?
I really don't have the need to back up Gary Bettman, but at the same time, the players are part of the National Hockey League and obviously do very well financially based on the success of the National Hockey League. And Gary's taken the league from, I think, roughly a $700 million business when he took over to a $3.3 billion business right now. So, yes, you don't like to see lockouts. You don't like to see time missed. But the reality is, if I'm an owner, I've got a guy who has done a great job to improve the value of my franchises in most cases and improve her profitability. Hopefully now that's really what the main goal is. So I think it's, you know, obviously it's a pro sport. It's a very emotional thing for the fans involved, so it's a little bit different. But you know, if you're a businessman and you made widgets in a factory, and you know your goal is obviously to maximize your profitability. And unfortunately, sometimes you have to do that through work stoppages. And that's what the league is going through right now.
Some of the sticking points here, Tom, funding pensions for the players, cap length of players' contracts, the salary cap for next season. And I think one of the biggest is the hockey-related revenue, the HRR that we're hearing so much about. The players under the expired CBA had a 57% share. The owners want it to be somewhere around 46%, but they're going to redefine that, and it could come down to 43%. Do you think that's probably the main reason why they're still not coming together?
Well, my understanding is that the league started off with that position. They came in hard during the summer, you know, prior, you know, to lockout. They said, okay, this is what we want. I believe that either they have agreed to or will agree to a 50-50 split. And I really still believe that they will agree on the existing definition of HRR. I know yesterday a lot came out about some language that it appeared the NHL tried to stick in kind of in the back pages. My understanding, what I've told, is that that's been clarified. The league felt that they were very open with what they were trying to do, and really it was more poor communication than anything. Now, the problem with that, though, is that now you've got 700 hockey players who are hearing somewhat different messages, it seems, and some are apparently not too happy. They still have the perception, and I believe, from what I've been told, it's a bad perception that league tried to pull a fast one, so to speak. So I think that's ironed out, but again, it has caused some damage as far as the credibility with a lot of the players.
Well, 625 games through January 14th have already been canceled. It's just under 51% of the season. This season, if they do get that shortened season in, we're talking to Tom Laidlaw, former Rangers and Kings defenseman. Tom, the cap this year for this shortened season would be $70.2 million, and then the owners want that to come down to $60 million next year. What would that do if you do get this shortened season together and the cap goes from 70.2 to 60? What does that do to teams?
Well, it depends on the team, obviously. I mean, the team, those high-spending teams that go to the cap all the time, you know, some teams are prepared for it, some haven't. There's some teams that are going to be left where they're going to have to sign, you know, 5 or 6 players at the minimum to get under the cap. There's going to be others. There's going to be buyout provisions that some teams can use. And you're going to have some teams that are just forced to make some trades to get rid of salaries.
Hey, Tom, how are you? This is Joe Auriemma.
I'm good, good, Joe. Now, do you watch Chris work out all the time, too? Is that part of your job description?
No. I'm not on that that realm. I am just the mere co-host here, and a co-host, by the way, who has the greatest birthday of all time, which is also yours, April 15th. So
I just want to
let you know that.
Good job. I like it.
Tom, you know, speaking more from an NHL standpoint, you know, you look at the 94 year did and bringing hockey back to New York. And then there was the strike of 95, the lockout of 95. And then there was the missed season where essentially the Stanley Cup wasn't given out for the first time in years and years and years. And, you know, hockey fans, it took a long time for them to come back here. And finally, last year, hockey breaks through, and I feel like the fan of the New York area, the metropolitan area, embraced hockey again, especially after that Devils-Rangers, Eastern Conference final. How hard is it going to, be to bring that fan back again after another work stoppage where the fan was like, we were all in, and now, again, this happens?
Well, yeah, I hear you. The only problem is, Joe, that the facts don't really show that that's accurate.
Right.
After the lockout in 2004-05, the revenues at that time were about $2.2 billion. And I hate to, when you talk about fans, I hate to talk just about dollars and cents, but
right.
It's really the indicator of how much the fans are coming back, you know, how many tickets are they buying and how much, you know, souvenirs and all the other stuff are they buying. So we went from $2.2 billion, and now we're at $3.3 billion. So there was no evidence really, and this is part of the problem, there was no evidence that it really hurt the league at all. And
right.
In fact, it showed that the fans were loyal fans that were hungry to come back and continue to spend their money on the National Hockey League.
So when it's all said and done, if they do wind up playing this year, I am a hard Devils fan. I love the New Jersey Devils, but Chris is laughing at me because he's obviously a big Rangers fan. But really, this could be, you know, again, going on hockey talk, this could be the year that the New York Rangers break through and they have the team on paper to really make some noise. And you got to think that if this lockout is over, that they would be one of the favorites to win the Stanley Cup this year.
Well, probably more than anybody. The good and the bad with the Rangers right now with John Tortorella is that John gets that team to play hard every night. And again, that's a great thing for fans. It's great to watch. It's, it's a great brand of hockey. It's physical. It's demanding. The problem is that it is hard on those guys that play. So shortened season, again, probably helps the New York Rangers more than anybody.
Yeah, it definitely does. And from a Devil standpoint, it's one more year where essentially Martin Brodeur's career, if they miss the whole year, that his career is kind of winding down here. However, if they do come back, it could be a good thing because Brodeur could be, very well rested and ready to go for one more playoff run. What do you think about that?
Well, and I mean this as a total compliment to him when I say it, but I think last year he showed that he's kind of a freak of nature, really.
Yeah.
Because I think most people thought that, okay, great career, great guy, great competitor, great team player, but at some point here, his game just has to start diminishing and go downhill. But after the way he played last year in a long stretch, going to the playoffs, going right to the finals, he was back to being the Martin Brodeur he was, 5-10 years ago. So, it is that I'll tell you, to me, is one of the most unfortunate things with these work stoppages, that a player like Martin Brodeur, at the end of his career, the fans don't get to see him as much as they should. And he doesn't really get to really end his career the way I think he should either. So that is obviously one of the bad things with the work stoppages.
We're talking with Tom Laidlaw, former Rangers and Kings defenseman. He now runs Laidlaw Sports Management. And Tom, again, we're coming on 100 and however many days, 112, 113, that the work stoppage has been there. Looking ahead, when do you expect you know, something to be a deal to be struck here? And is there really, you know, Bettman had said that by next week, if there's not a deal done, that the season would be canceled. Is that really kind of a hard line in the sand where if there is no deal done, even though they're very close, that, you know, there would be a cancellation of the season?
Well, you know, at some point you get to, logistically, you get to the point where it just doesn't make sense, right? I mean, you've got to have some credibility to the season. So, now, there really is no hard number to that. Again, back in 94, I believe it was, they had that, 95, they had the 48-game schedule. So, you kind of think that that's the number that people look at to say, okay, that if we play at least those number of games, then it's a credible season. And to play 48 games and not have the playoffs go into August, obviously then, you know, you've got a certain time frame there. So I do believe that, you know, 1 week, you know, listen, if they can't get this done in 1 week, you got to start to believe that it's not going to get done. That's right. Why, you know, some people think this just make it a hard date. Say, if we're not done by January 11th, then it's just not going to happen. And they haven't quite done that yet, although they've kind of pointed in that direction.
Tom, you are officially off the hot seat. I just have a couple more things. First of all, I'm still looking for an agent, if you're interested. And
well, based on, I'm assuming like a bodybuilding agent, right? Like competition or something, is that what it is?
Yeah, and secondly, I did get 315 up. You haven't been around in a while.
Well, I used to come in the afternoon, you were there.
Yeah.
But it was kind of bruising my ego a little bit, so I come in the morning now when you're not around.
Yeah, right. On the Smith machine, but I got it up once, so
that's,
you know.
That's all that matters.
You used to walk by, and you used to look at me lifting those 25-pound dumbbells, asking me if I wanted a spot. So I want to give you the credit helping pumping me up and getting me going at the gym. And One last thing. My partner just showed me your nickname was Cowboy. Is this true?
I did. They did an article on early in my career, and I mentioned that they asked me my favorite actor or my favorite movie. I think it was.
Right.
I said anything with John Wayne in it. So I think my teammates picked up on that and started calling me Cowboy. Obviously, being a little bit sarcastic, but
that's pretty cool though. As long as it's not the Rhinestone Cowboy, we're good.
or some people are suggesting that has something to do with Brokeback Mountain.
Oh boy, that's Tom Laidlaw, former Rangers and Kings defenseman. Tommy, we really thank you for your time. We appreciate it. You've cleared up a couple of things that my brain was scrambled about. So we appreciate it. Thanks a lot for joining us. And hopefully the next time we talk to you, we'll be playing hockey. Thank you so very much.
All right, guys. Great talking to you.
All right, take care.
The Off the Wall podcast comes to you each week on iTunes and YesNetwork.com. If you like what you're listening to, simply subscribe to the show on iTunes. And if you have an extra minute, leave a comment and rating.